In the name of the one true living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning, everyone. My name is Sean Steele, and I am the associate priest down at Trinity in the Woodlands, and I bring you greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ from the community down there. It's really nice to be here. So I have not been a priest for very long. Matter of fact, I am a classmate of Aaron, so you can figure out exactly how long I have been a priest. I have been in churches for a while. And in my time, I've realized that as Christians, as individuals, as limited beings, there are parts of the gospel, of the Bible, that seem to resonate with us more. As individuals, we have our favorite parables, our favorite stories in the book. We have our favorite verses that we hang in our home or at work. Does anybody do this? Does anybody have their favorite parts of the Bible? And I think this is good. I think this is right and holy. This makes sense to me. I think this also happens when we dwell and think about the reality of who Jesus Christ is. That there are certain aspects of Jesus Christ that we tend to gravitate more towards as individuals. And I think overall, as a body, there tends to be some that we like most of all. How about Jesus the healer? Jesus the comforter? Jesus the provider? Jesus the protector? Jesus the redeemer? Jesus the forgiver? These are my favorite too. Then there are these parts of Jesus and this great mystery of God and this puzzle that I like, I just don't think about so much. Jesus, the one who sits at the right hand of God, the judge. Jesus, the truth speaker, the one who speaks truth in love directly into our lives. Jesus, the prophet. Jesus, who says that grace is free. But it's not cheap. That grace demands something from us. It demands a transformed life. And over the last couple of weeks, 4 weeks in a row now, if you've been listening to the gospel, we have got a fresh, full dose of Jesus the prophet. Anybody listen to the gospel? Jesus the truth speaker. And it's kind of exhausting, I'll be honest with you. But it's meet and right and holy. We're in the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And if you remember, a chapter ago in chapter 21, Jesus made his last entry into Jerusalem. He is nearing the end of his life. He is moving towards the cross. And he goes into the temple and he throws a temple tantrum. You can laugh at that. That's funny. That's funny. He throws a temple tantrum. He flips over the tables. He makes a big scene. He says, "You have made my father's house into a den of thieves." He's made a scene. And he goes off, and the Pharisees and the scribes and the leaders come to Jesus. And to be honest, they're coming to him with what I believe to be genuine hearts. If you remember 3 weeks ago, they came to him and they said, "By whose authority do you do these things?" That was not a bad question. In fact, that was a very appropriate question. This is a question that we find in chapter 11. John's disciples come to Jesus and basically say, "Are you the one who is to come? We see you doing these things." The Pharisees essentially are saying, "Are you the Messiah?" Because it's only the Messiah that is going to claim this authority, this power, to be able to do the things that you're doing. Are you the Messiah? I think they came with genuine hearts. And how does Jesus respond? What do we get over the last couple of weeks? Chapter 21, 22. Jesus turns to them and he basically tells them that they have failed to fulfill the covenant that they made with God. He says, "You are people who praise God with your voice, but you do not with your actions. You do not follow through. You are people that have not been good stewards of the vineyard. God has given you the vineyard and you have been a bad steward. You have not given back to God what God deserves. You are not caring for the land. You have been invited to the banquet. You have been invited to the table, and you have said no." Essentially, what he tells them is that you are hypocrites. That's exactly what he tells them today. He calls them hypocrites. And in chapter 23, the next chapter, you're going to see this. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Woe to you, you hypocrites. Remember, the word hypocrite in Greek comes from the word that means stage actor. Stage actor. Pretending to be something that you are not, putting on that mask. He basically tells the Pharisees that you have made a covenant with God. You are the leaders. You are Israel. And you are not fulfilling your end of the bargain. God has given you this banquet, this grace, this truth, and you have used this power for yourself. You're only serving yourself. And so the Pharisees go off and they do exactly what I would expect them to do. And that's where we are this morning. They say, we got to get rid of this guy. No, sirree. He is challenging us. And so they go back to him, but this time it says they seek to entrap him. And in that word in the Greek, this is the only place in the New Testament you're going to find it. They come to entrap Jesus. But they act like they are coming with a nice, good question. They're going to ask him what was a very appropriate question for the time. A hotly debated question among the rabbis. They even bring people from both sides of the argument. They bring the Pharisees, who believe you shouldn't pay taxes, and they believe the Herodians, the people of Herod, who believe you should pay taxes. And so they go to him again and they ask him this question, but Jesus sees that something has changed within them. He sees their hearts. They are no longer seeking to find an answer from God. They no longer want to know if he is the one, if he is the Messiah. They no longer want to know if this is going to draw them closer to God. They don't like the answers he gives, and so they want to get rid of him. They want to entrap him. And he responds by saying, give to Caesar what is Caesar and to God what is God's. He essentially tells them, just worry about your relationship with God. Stop worrying about entrapping me. Go and be faithful people. Jesus is always calling us back to faithfulness and redemption. And he silences them and they go off. Now, as I was thinking about this prophetic Jesus, I couldn't help but really identify with the Pharisees. Really identify with the Pharisees. As someone who genuinely at times goes and says, God, reveal yourself to me. Show me who you are. Break into my life. And then when I get the answer, I say, whoa, why don't we talk about this, Jesus? Are you certain? Maybe we should talk about this a little bit more. Let me tell you what I mean. As I was thinking about it, when it comes to most things that have to do with social justice, you may be like me, I don't know. You believe that these are really good things, to stand up for the poor, to care for those that are being marginalized, the least that are among us, the oppressed. And I pray about that and say, God, how can I be involved with that? And then sometimes when I get that answer, I think, not in my backyard. You know, there's always going to be the poor, Jesus. You said that. The tone of my conversation with our Lord changes. Because I have been challenged to a place of discomfort. I have been challenged to give up sacrificially of myself and my comfort and my power. I've been married for 12 years. And in that time, I have learned a lot about forgiveness. That's funny, too. Because it's true. I've learned about asking for forgiveness and forgiving someone when they ask. And I'm telling you, in that time, I have said, Lord, speak into my life. Come into my life. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. And I get that message from the Holy Spirit that says, oh, you need to go ask for forgiveness, Sean. Like, well, wait a minute, Jesus. You know, maybe you have said this other places. I mean, it's part of her fault, too. What about money? Let's talk about money. Oh, we don't want to talk about money. Let's talk about money. Jesus talks about money more than anything else, by the way. Anything. He talks about money. Last year, during our stewardship commitment campaign, I was praying to God. I was saying, Lord, break into my life. Tell me how you want me to use the resources that you've given me. I want to be prayerful about this. I get motivated. I feel the Holy Spirit is saying, Sean, you're a priest in the church. You need to be moving towards a tithe. You call people to do this. And I think, well, you know, Lord, you've called me to be a good steward of my family, too. I have three children. I make half the money that the average income in the Woodlands is. The tone of the conversation changes. And the examples go on and on. If you're like me, you can find a lot of areas in your life where you can relate to the Pharisees when you say, Lord, break in. Use me. Show me your truth. Transform me. Let me be your hands and feet. And when we get the answer, say, well, let's talk about this. How do you respond when God answers your prayers and breaks into your life? What is that conversation like? Now, I'm not going to leave you with just that. I have some good news for you. I do want to come back someday. Here's the good news. This is how we are unlike the Pharisees. We are Easter people. We have the benefit of the resurrection. That means that we know that in this life we are constantly going to be walking in relationship with our Lord, and we're going to fall short. I'm not giving you permission, I'm giving you grace. What I'm saying is that God is going to constantly call us back to awareness. And we know that at the end of the day, the love of God is beyond anything we can imagine. Amen, hallelujah. Number two. We know that Jesus doesn't have a big ego. That our Lord doesn't call us to places of discomfort. Our Lord doesn't call us to give sacrificially. Our Lord doesn't break into our life so that he can feel important. We are post-resurrection. We know that everything that our Lord calls us into is for the sake of glorifying God and redeeming us. That whenever God says, go into this discomfort, give of yourself, allow me to use you, allow me to come alive in you, it is so we can experience the truth and the peace and the glory of God. That Jesus is always about the work of redemption. Our redemption. So we can trust that if we respond and walk into that discomfort, God isn't going to abandon us. God is going to redeem.